This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Elvis Costello tickets on the line today. Of course, this song was, it's a hard one to talk over. Gonna have to go to my Jim Nance voice. Tiger on 18. Tiger for the Masters. No one's ever had a better low voice. Not low, but not loud voice than Jim Nance. Hello, friends.
A whispery voice?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Like, not a whisper, but he's kind of being like the courteous, soft voice.
Well, you know what's always cracked me up?
I'm not speaking too loudly because I don't want to distract anyone, but I am speaking with urgency.
Yeah. And I don't think he needs to.
He
doesn't need to do that, but he does it because it fits the golf thing.
Yeah, the golf. What would you call that? The golf
culture.
Je ne sais quoi.
Milieu.
Yeah. The golf. Yeah, all the... Oh, look at that.
Oh, I just laughed like an old golfer, didn't I? Oh,
look at that. All right, welcome.
Golf milieu taking over the studio now.
Oh, good Richie. Richie's in a great... Ever since John got a girlfriend, he's in such a better mood.
It's a beautiful
He's just in a better mood. We welcome Ruben Amara. By the way, Ruben with us today.
Ruben Amara Jr. in studio is brought to you by CJ's Tire and Auto, 18 convenient locations. We keep things moving. CJ'sTire.com.
Ruben, we're going to talk...
CJ'sTire.com.
We're going to talk draft and the Phillies and the whole deal,
Let's go.
Wouldn't you say John's been in a better mood the last 6 months with the girlfriend?
I see joy in his face.
Yeah.
Last 6 months. I think it's...
Well, whatever.
It's got to be less than
joy visits.
That.
Well, whatever.
Feels like it's been a day.
There
we
go.
A day. Hours.
Oh, look at that.
Look at this guy.
Look at hours. Do you see the smile on his face? If you watch on YouTube, you can just, like, you can't hide it. Like, the grin is just.
It's newness. It's like he's got a glow.
Yeah.
He's glowing.
But that's the thing. That the short-term memory loss thing, it really does. That glow is easy.
Wait, are you saying that's helping you?
I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay.
Kidding.
Okay.
What was that movie that...
it was good. First Dates.
I love that movie.
Yeah, right. It was very funny.
50 First Dates.
That's how it's been for you, Lisa.
It's not that bad. It's not bad at all, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, it is.
Good comeback.
How about that? All right, Rube, the draft. What'd you make of Howie? I know. Howie's your boy. Are you and Howie, like, friends?
You get beers,
hang
out.
Would you say you are official friends?
There was a time when we spent a little bit more time together, but not as much
now.
Is he
a good hang, Howie?
He is a great hang. Yeah, he's a great conversationalist, good dude. He's a dude. He's a guy.
Yeah. Which you clearly are. One thing getting to know.
Rube's a dude.
Ruben Amaro is just a fella.
I don't know about that.
He's a guy.
He's a pal.
Northeast born, man. Northeast Philly.
Who, you or Howie?
Me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Just a guy.
All right. What'd you make of... What'd you make of Howie in the draft? What hit you?
I mean, I think that he did a great job, as he normally does. I mean, the proof is in the pudding when the guys get on the field and you know, prove what they can do. I love the first two picks. I really did love the first two picks for a couple of different reasons. One, he dealt with some needs, and he got great quality people, like people who want to be here and to be champions. And I think that's a big element that he studies and that his people study. They want champions. And, you know, the only way to be a championship team is to have championship-type players and people in your organization. And it just seems like... Especially with Jahad Campbell, I mean, I love this guy. I love this guy. I don't even know him, and you know, the fact that he's got Philly roots, that's a big thing.
So I'm excited he's here. I will give you something interesting. So John McMullen, who does a really good job covering the Eagles, put out something yesterday on Twitter, and I know, John, you often push back on injury stuff, but you know, Campbell did fall to a large extent because of injuries. And here's something John McMullen said yesterday. This is an Albert Breer thing. So McMullen says, somewhat concerning note on Eagles' first-round pick, Jahad Campbell, from Albert Breer. So here's Albert Breer's quote. Quote, I'd say Howie's first-round pick this year, Alabama linebacker Jahad Campbell, is a little like 2 years ago with Jalen Carter. Now, you might say, well, that's a great thing. Of course that'd be a great thing. But here's what he says. In both cases, there was a reason why the guy was available. With Carter, it was a checkered off-field history that Philly felt well-qualified to manage. With Campbell, it's his shoulders and knees. Yes, plural, on both counts. Shoulders and knees.
Oh, that's great.
And again, this is one where the Eagles are more equipped to take on the risk than others because they don't need the pick to hit. But just be aware. Like,
everybody needs a pick to hit, don't they?
Well, I think he's saying the Eagles are so good even if they have a miss hit. It's like Adam Eaton.
I see what you did there.
That's the quick wit. Let me tell you something.
Wow.
That's quick wit right there. All right?
I've been thinking about that.
Why are we just hearing about the knees now? Right? We have not heard. This is the first we've heard about the knees, right?
And James, and you know, James, you weren't here on Friday. Was that one of your days that was a real vacation?
I was here for the first 2 hours on Friday, and then I had to go catch a plane.
Oh, that's a whole nother matter, whether that should count as a half day.
Oh, wow.
That's a whole nother matter, boys and girls.
Do you ever take Fridays and just disappear on a Friday?
Yeah, you know what I do? I count it as a vacation day.
What do you want me to do? Yeah. I was here. I showed up. No,
but all jokes aside, I did reference on Friday, obviously being excited with Campbell, but said, he did fall quite a bit because of something with injury, and now you hear the shoulders and knees. Just tuck it away. You know, you never know where a situation
Eagles
like this goes.
Eagles have drafted injured players that
they have. And sometimes
sometimes
it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Sometimes it doesn't.
You know, so just be aware of it. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Your thoughts on the Birds. Couple days, of course, from the draft, and obviously with the opportunity to win the Elvis Costello tickets today. We'll get into the Phil. Who the Phil's playing? Someone help me out. I forget.
Nationals.
Come on.
Ah, that's a sweep.
Now, they've been playing pretty decent baseball.
They got Scherzer?
No.
The
guy who's pitching today is one of the better left-handers in the league.
And they struggled against him.
Mackenzie Gore had 13 punch-outs.
Oh, that guy. Yeah. That guy was good.
Filthy. Now, there was shadows.
That's right.
But.
The shadows game.
Yeah, I remember it.
That was a shadows game.
All right, let's get to Gary in Whitehall. Gary, what's going on, buddy?
What's going on, Joe? How are you doing?
Quite well. Apparently, I got a new tennis coach.
Hey, look at that.
I'm going to be so ready for this, man.
Apparently, that makes up for Jack having played tennis in high school.
Well, I mean, I'm not that worried about it. I mean, what high school did he even go to? Yeah, so exactly.
I don't know, but he played tennis
Ruston,
in high school.
I believe, was his high school.
He didn't go to an athletic powerhouse like the prep. All right? He made it at Ruston? The school's name is Ruston?
What did
I think so. I could be wrong. This is me pulling from the pod.
No.
Ruston. I could be wrong. That's what is sticking out my head.
Where did you play tennis?
I was on the 231 track team. Soon as the school day ended, bang, right out the door. I'd run out the door. 231 track.
Sprint out the door.
Sprint.
Right.
And pull the groin. All right, Gary, what do you got, buddy?
Hey, just kind of be a big fan. You don't have a Christmas twice a year.
Wait, say that again?
Sort of.
You have Christmas twice a year because all the toys that Howie's giving them.
Well, yeah, but understand why. They lost a ton of starters on defense. They didn't lose a ton of starters on offense. They lost one starter on offense. They may lose a second. That's it. Defense, man, I don't want to say got it because they kept a lot of really good players, but they lost about half their starters, and they were above-average players. Darius Slay wasn't Darius Slay from 5 years ago, but he was still pretty damn good, man.
You know why that was all about. That's all about 2 years from now. That's next year of the bigger contract that you got to shovel out. That's all that stuff.
That's not all it was. That was part of it. That's not all of it. Gary, you can't keep everybody. But I'm saying it's not just about 2 years from now and re-signing Jalen Carter and all that. I mean, they might not keep Dallas Goedert. I mean, you just can't have as Mick said, you can't always get what you want. Now, he's right. Sometimes you get what you need. Sometimes you don't.
As far as Goddard goes, we thought the writing was on the wall that he was gone, but evidence shows that he's not going anywhere for this year anyway.
Well, I'll say this. Evidence shows, in my opinion, that they want to keep him and they're trying to keep him. That's what evidence shows, but we don't know yet what the outcome will be. Gary, give me a great fictional athlete.
I'm going to go with Roy Hobbs.
Roy Hobbs is a big one. Except, give me the except. Except what? Come on, Gus. You got to know the natural. Roy Hobbs is a big, great answer, except when he's dating Memo. And then he can't hit the baseball. I mean, there's a whole stretch of the movie where he can't hit the baseball.
So much to me. You know what? It used to matter a little bit, and then when you started being, well, obsessive about the natural, it made me care even less.
I can imagine. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday morning. Hope you're heading to work. Let me take that back. I hope you're not heading to work.
Yes. I hope you have the day off.
Well, I'm really setting something up here. I'm setting up our second Twitter poll question of the day because I'm hoping you're not heading to work. I'm hoping you're pulling a James Seltzer. Just don't let the world know that it shouldn't be a vacation day. All right, so here's the Twitter poll. Twitter poll, by the way, it's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, of course. Armin Chevy, your Corvette headquarters. Have you dreamt about owning a Corvette? Well, now's the time. Visit ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. So I already gave you the first poll question today, which is should the Eagles pick up Jordan Davis's fifth-year option for 2026, which will be for $12.9 million. Second poll question. And, John, it's the first time we ever make this an official like poll question. So Seltzer missed work yesterday, and it was due to airline issues. I mean, that's legit. We've had them before. We know what that's like. The question is, should James Seltzer's missed day of work yesterday due to airline issues count as a vacation day?
Oh, no.
Well, okay, well, here's what it's not. It's not a sick day.
I abstain.
It's like, what is it? It's not.
I mean, I think it is a sick day. Yeah.
Were you sick?
Yeah, dude. I wish you to deal with the airline issues I had to deal with. You would be sick to your stomach, let me tell you.
Sick to your stomach?
It was awful.
Ruben, you're the only person that ran an organization.
Been at work. That's
is,
for damn
is
sure.
Is sick to my stomach an acceptable answer? Like, you, sick to my stomach.
That one's not.
It made me that is ill.
All right, I need people to
understand why.
Insane in the membrane.
Mean, the whole travel thing.
Oh,
is
it's
just,
brutal.
It's just, yeah. I don't know what's happened to it.
Brutal. All right, so I do.
You're right, Ruben. It's gotten so much worse.
It has.
Stuff that, like, they just do whatever they want now.
It has.
Awful.
It's gotten bad. But I am going to pose this to the audience. Seltzer missed work. I do feel bad for him. Okay,
It doesn't seem like you feel
bad.
If we're going to call it like we see it.
I'm just asking, what is it? I mean, it's definitely not a sick day. So how is it not a vacation day? I mean, what's the company supposed to just eat it? Company's fault? All right, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, 215-592-9494. What is it?
Can the airline pay for it?
See, that's a good point there. Yeah.
I like that.
Seltzer, sue him.
I like that.
Sue him for your day back. All right, one other thing before we get back to the phones. So we're going to play a little game called Name That Man. Name That Man. Now, the only person who's not allowed to answer is Ruben Amar because he knows who that man is.
All right.
So yesterday, I'm with Ruben and a lot of media members and some of Ruben's friends. And big day of unveiling slug ball to some people in the Philadelphia media. Cool game, by the way. Very much like baseball. Basically, it's directional hitting. So, I mean, you got a bat. There's a pitcher.
Can we get the Phillies playing slug ball?
I would hope so.
Directional hitting.
I would hope so.
That would be helpful.
So this is about like directional hitting. It's actually a cool game. And so, you know, you got to hit the ball certain spots, certain times, and all that stuff. All right. So at a certain point, I'm standing down the first base side. Now, I get there late. I haven't seen, because we were doing the show, I haven't seen who's who in the lead up to it. I just know there's two teams, and most of them are the ham and eggers. And I would put myself in that category, like, you know, the regular media folk. Skaversky, Pat Gallen, Jamie Apodi, like, you know, you got some good athletes in there, but you don't have any Major League Baseball players. Then I'm standing down the first base side, so I can't see this left-handed hitter's face. Can't see his face. All I can tell, it is a tall man, he is black, and all of a sudden, instead of the ball going, like, maybe to the outfield, the ball is soaring. And I say to Skaversky, I say, what is Ken Griffey here? And then he says who it is. Ladies and gentlemen, tall left-handed black hitter. Who is it?
I'm guessing it wasn't Ken Griffey.
It was not Ken Griffey okay. Jr. Played for the Phillies. Lives in the area. I had no idea the man lives in the area.
So not Ryan Howard, I'm assuming.
Not Ryan Howard.
The guy who had like three good weeks.
And, correct.
And Ruben didn't trade him.
Not
Dom Brown.
Dom Brown.
Yeah.
Like the jump from here's like, you know, Pat Gallen hitting from CBS 3 to Dom Brown, Ruben.
Yeah. Pretty impressive.
Yes.
And you know what? He's going up to be a great young man. That's
cool.
A young man. He's actually mentoring, I think, and also doing some hitting stuff. But
he's an academy, right?
He's coaching
he's
people.
He's got a hitting academy and stuff. So it's pretty cool, man.
That's nice.
Sort of giving back in some ways, and it's nice, man. He's back involved in youth baseball.
That's cool. He was out there for you. Cool.
Oh, it was great. He's a good dude, man. He really is, and I know that it didn't, you know, pan out as all of us wanted, because he was one of the best prospects in the game for 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, for two straight years, he was the number one prospect in baseball.
And did make that All-Star team that 1 year, right?
He made an All-Star team.
And
it was 20 home runs or something early in the season.
Wasn't it 20 homers in 1 month?
It was like a month or 2 months. I think it was 2 months worth of serious damage, and then he sort of fizzled out a little bit. I think he got a concussion. He dove for a ball and got a concussion. That didn't help. But he's a really good dude, and for him to come out and support us was great.
Good, man. Very cool. All right, let's go to the phones. A lot to get to, including some Bill Belichick stuff, some of what Howie said after the draft. You know, Dallas Goedert to me is top of mind. A couple days from the draft, main thing that hits me is what is going on and what is going to happen with Dallas Goedert? I mean, I think we know what's going on. There's a negotiation. There's a standoff. It's a game of chicken. Who's going to blink first? Are the Eagles actually going to cut him? Are they actually going to trade him? Will Dallas Goedert take a pay cut? Like, who is going to blink first in this Dallas Goedert thing? I don't know. I know this. A couple weeks ago at the owners' meetings, it sounded like he was all but gone. It also struck me at the time, though, and John, you'll remember I said this, that I thought it might have been a negotiating tactic by Sirianni and Lurie, the way they presented it. Like, maybe it was a, hey, Dallas, we're serious about cutting you, or we're serious about trading you. So you better, like, understand, dude, we will get rid of you unless you take less money. With that said, he hasn't taken less yet, and we just went through a draft and he wasn't traded, which frankly surprised me. There was two things that surprised me about this draft. One, that Goedert wasn't traded, and two, that the Eagles kept trading back. Other than the first round, they kept trading back, ended up with 10 picks, but most of them were near the very end of the draft. Both of those things surprised me, honestly, quite a bit. What do you make of the draft from a couple of days ago and the Goedert situation? All of that on the table, 215-592-9494.
And John, Goedert is, he makes us a better team.
Yes. No question.
I'd rather have him than not.
He's here. We are better. We're better at running the football. We're better at the RPO stuff, because not only does he give you an incredible edge blocking, run blocking wise, but he can be that first route in the flat, the quick, you know, he can be the quick stick route, like right over the ball, 6 yards and look. He can, the looky route, the dump. He is a huge target
who love
is
the dump.
Always open. He is the Texas route, check through. Rather than
such
the
children.
Jump.
Rhea, I really am. I'm stuck in sophomore year of
but
high
school. But I laughed at it, so I'm as bad as you
guys
are.
Sophomoric.
You
hit it right on the
He
right
was at the White House
Hey,
yesterday.
Grow up, all right? Grow up.
It was interesting, John.
I want to ask Elliot, hey, was the vibe normal? How was the vibe different with Dallas
Goedert? We're Goddard and Howie next to each other.
What's the deal with the offseason? I don't know. How is the offseason program going? Is Dallas Goedert here for that stuff?
So we got a lot to talk to Elliot about. Of course, he was at the White House yesterday. We'll talk to Elliot coming up in about 5 minutes. All right, to the phones we go. Also, reminder, our show's on YouTube now. If you don't know that, now you know. Show's on YouTube every day. That includes Borgata. When we debuted this a few weeks ago, we told you initially we did not have the cameras yet and the setup yet to do the show from Borgata on YouTube. We amended that last week. So all 5 days of the week, you can see our show live on YouTube. See that pretty face of Mr. Ruben tomorrow. But here's the key I really want to get at. We want comments. We want feedback. It can be sports-related feedback, your opinions, for instance, of Goedert. Would the Eagles have actually taken Shooter Sanders? Like, we'll take the sports comments, but also comments about what you observe with our show. 8 o'clock hour, somewhere in there, maybe around 8:30, we'll get to some of the feedback on what you notice with our show. So get those comments in while watching YouTube. Do that today. Do that any day. Let's get to Raymond right now. Raymond, everybody loves you. Yeah, I'm in dork mode today, man. I realize that's dad joke.
I love the show. John, you're my favorite sports moderator.
Wow.
Anywhere. I don't just mean Philadelphia and I travel. I mean anywhere.
Man.
Rhea is so mellifluous. I just love it when she chimes in.
What was mellifluous? Mellifluous?
Yes.
Pleasant sounding.
Really?
Thank you.
Is it
mellifluous?
Yeah.
Mellifluous.
Joe, I knew you would know, but no. I know Rhea and John know.
Well, John went to Stanford, you know, so he's got mellifluous.
I didn't get that.
Well, she is. Guys, relating to the Eagles and the draft, I'd be curious to know, are we set at cornerback? Now, that's my one question.
Great question.
My second question, and I'll hang up and listen. John, Joe, Rhea, Ruben, you guys. Oh, and then one other guy. I love to hear him laugh. I tune in just to hear him laugh. What do you deduce from 32 of the 35 African-Americans on the Eagles' active roster not being at the White House or like Jalen Hurts did?
Well, I think it's pretty easy to deduce. They just didn't want to be there. I mean, I'm sure they're just not
that difficult.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that's an easier one to answer than what is 13 times 17. I don't know that off the top of my head, but why they weren't there, we all know that. That's, you know.
I love this show. Okay, and then finally.
I wish that was an SAT question. Could have gotten that one right.
Give me a fictional athlete.
Who do you got?
How about Apollo Creed? I think
you know what? Better boxer than Rock.
Yeah,
he is. Better.
Rocky was just tougher.
Well, he was. Apollo also had been champ for a while, and I think took Rock a little light.
Hold on, guys. Rocky was also faster. Remember, they raced on the beach. No. Rocky 3.
Apollo let him win that for sure. Apollo was like jogging next to him. He's like, that's the fastest you can go, Rock.
It is the dumbest scene in the history. Like,
on the beach?
Even, I was a small child watching that. It was 1983 or whatever year it was. And I'm just like, holy cow, man. Yeah. Carl Weathers, even his face, the effortless look on his face. Like, he's trying to make his body look like it's working hard. Sly Stallone is chugging away.
Yeah. Well, he's grinding. He's grinding.
Carl Weathers, he's looking over like, I'm trying to make it look like I'm straining and it's very difficult. Sly is
so
one of the slowest human beings I've ever run next to. And it really is a fascinating scene when you view it through that lens.
No question. No question.
I don't know how many people looked through it with that lens, though,
John.
I'm going to be real.
Joe did.
I did. I remember it well. All right, let's get to Dennis in Levittown. Dennis, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, everybody. How are you today?
Doing great, Dennis.
Hey, yeah, talk some Eagles regarding Goddard. Needs to be here. Deserves to be here. And I would not take a pay cut. He's under contract. They should honor it.
Hold on. So if he doesn't take the pay cut, they probably will cut him. You know what I'm saying? And by the way, I'm also going to move past your word deserved. Deserved doesn't work in a salary cap world. It's not about deserved.
You think Saquon deserved a raise, right?
Well,
I do.
That's what I was going to say next. You're giving bonuses out when you got contracts. You still got to honor.
You don't have to honor them. They're non-guaranteed contracts. So you actually honor the contract by cutting the player. Just to be clear, that's honoring the contract. If not, there'd be a million case law studies where NFL players would be suing NFL teams and winning, and that suit's never happened because it's not possible. It's not legal. I do understand your point. Look, Dennis, I really want Goddard on the team. I think he's a fantastic player, and I'm trying to milk that one more year out of him. There's a couple things we don't know. Would he be a happy camper with the reduced salary? Would he be a happy camper on his current salary but without an extension? See, part of the game of chicken going on here,
I think, I'm not going to say I can report this, but I think it's common sense. John Goddard, I'm sure, wants more.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? This is like...
Wouldn't you, if you were one of the five best tight ends, and you could say, hey, when I'm healthy, look at the way I play, look at what I can do, look at my stats. And he really does equate to the best tight ends in the NFL.
And here's the thing. Remember this. Nick Sirianni is about to get, sometime in the next 3 or 4 months, a contract extension when he's got 1 year left on his deal. Goddard's probably thinking... Well, damn, I know I'm an athlete, not a coach, but I'd like to not have to play the last year of my deal, especially at the age of 30. So, it's complicated. And I'm telling you, man, I do not know the way this one's going to shake out. It's fascinating.
Well, John, I got a question for John. John, if he takes a minimal pay cut, is he able to make that up with incentives if they go on to the divisional game and further?
Oh, well, I
depends on whether they
imagine if they wrote that in there, that would have to be done beforehand. That's what makes it tricky. But yeah, maybe it's in there. Not likely to be earned. Incentives are in there too for a lot of these contracts in the NFL. The problem is right now you got Dallas Goedert. He's owed, what is he owed this year? 12.9 or 13 million.
Well, you're like doing the Jordan Davis number, but it's we'll ask Elliot in a moment. It's north of 10 million.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay. The going rate right now, the top tight ends in the NFL, Trey McBride just got $19 million a year.
Who's he play for?
The Cardinals.
But Kittle just topped that number.
Yeah, but here's my point. When I said who's he play for, there was a point there. The Cardinals don't have as many good players as the Eagles. No. That's what complicates it. That's the problem. Like, I firmly believe if this was a different era of Eagles football, Goddard would just be back and he'd probably get an extra year and they'd give him a new two-year deal. But it's hard to do that when you have this many good players. All right, Dennis, I got to get to Elliot. Give me a great fictional athlete.
The kid from the Angels in the outfield.
Oh, yeah. Angels in the outfield.
The kid is not an athlete. He's just in the stands helping the team, right?
I thought he was the manager.
Or that's Little Big League.
Oh.
That's the Twins.
So Angel in the outfield ain't going to win.
Yeah.
All right, not going to win. Elliot Sher Parks might win. He was at the White House yesterday. He's not going to win the presidency, though. They're setting that up for me someday.
Got a better chance than you.
Wow.
Huh?
We've both been there once. We've both been there once. Did Elliot get to the Oval Office?
Actually, we'll find out.
Yeah, I doubt it. I got my feet in the Oval Office. That's a whole nother matter. Elliot.
So that makes you think that you're going to be
president? Inside track on Elliot. I was asked comparative on Elliot. I don't think Elliot got the Oval Office.
That's how they choose presidents.
All right, Elliot, back from D.C. with us in 1 minute.
Mother's Day. It's time to honor the moms in our lives, the ones who gave you unconditional love on your worst days, and those women who hold your home together, mom to your children, and she's your best friend, too. Now it's time, and now it's your turn to give back with the timeless gift from Benari Jewelers. Benari Jewelers at Exton and Newtown Square is your destination for timeless, beautiful, and meaningful gifts for all those we call mom. Show your love and gratitude with classic diamond earrings, a stunning diamond bracelet, an elegant diamond pendant, or the perfect forever symbol of your gratitude, a sophisticated diamond eternity band. Or browse Benari's extensive collection of famed designer David Yurman with the largest selection of David Yurman in all of Greater Philadelphia, from cable and chain bracelets to pendants with eye-catching precious colored stones. Whatever you choose, Benari promises exceptional quality and uncompromising craftsmanship. Just what mom deserves. Benari Jewelers, Exton in Newtown Square.
All right, Elliot Sher Parks, of course, joins us every single Tuesday. Love having Elliot on the program. He's brought to us by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. Good morning, Elliot.
You know, considering I smoked you in that presidential debate we had at the station, I wouldn't be so sure that you would have a better chance than I would.
All right, here we go. Here's the question. Did you get your feet in the Oval Office the way I did, yes or no? Of course, we know the answer is no, but answer the question.
I did not, no.
Right.
When were you in the Oval
Office? Listen, Hammer got connections, right? Here's what Young Hammer pulled, and I did pull this. Outside the Oval Office, rope. took my hands, grabbed the rope, put my feet inside the room to say I stood in the Oval Office while leaning back and holding the rope.
Weasel move.
Weasel move.
Oh, totally.
Both feet in the Oval Office. Stood in the Oval Office!
I wouldn't say you stood in the Oval Office in that instance.
I leaned in it and grabbed the rope so I wouldn't fall over. All right, Ellie, what was the experience like yesterday? What stood out to you?
I mean, it was a cool experience for sure. I mean, you know, I haven't stood in the Oval Office like you, but I also hadn't been at the White House since I think like third grade on a field trip maybe. So, you know, the ceremony was on the South Lawn. You know, the experience of like walking into the White House and all that was very cool. So, you know, for the players that did go, it seems like they really did enjoy it. My count of the players that were there, I believe there were 32 players, which is, if you consider everybody that was invited, I mean, we're talking about 32 of, I would guess, you know, 75, 80 players. So definitely not well attended, I would say, by the players. But
where
overall,
were all
I think
those players, Elliot, like the 32 players, it felt like I saw, I don't know, like Mekhi Becton there, Saquon Barkley. Mm-hmm. It felt like I saw like seven.
Yeah, but there's a lot missing.
I know, but players. I didn't see 32 players.
Well, look at the photos. There's a bunch of players there.
I thought it was a lot of coaches.
Who came back, Elliot? Who came back that's no longer on the team? I know Becton was there. Who else came back that's now currently not an Eagle?
Becton was there. I saw Britton Covey. I don't believe he signed with anybody else, but I would still at this point consider him a former Eagle. So I also think the reason is if you look at those photos, like there were two players I didn't even recognize that were on the roster at one point. So there was a fair amount, I would say, of like practice squad guys.
Got it.
That explains there,
Elliot,
that number.
Any Got interaction it. That you saw between Goddard and Sirianni, Goddard and Howie, Goddard and Lurie?
What did he feel like?
So we only saw the players when they walked like down a staircase from what I believe was the Oval Office to the South Lawn and then during the ceremony. So I didn't really see much interaction between a lot of people because it was during the ceremony. But I definitely didn't see any interaction with Goddard, Sirianni, or Howie. That doesn't mean it didn't happen yesterday. I didn't see
it.
Were
you able to roam around? I saw at one point you had a video up on social media, like almost like when you're at training camp and you're doing a walk and talk.
Yeah.
And like you're just like the White House is behind you. Were you like just able to roam?
Well, so when I walked in through security, which was not easy, by the way, getting through security took quite a bit of time, as you might imagine. But
unlike Seltzer with the airplane, you actually made it to work. I just want to be clear. Seltzer had to deal with security, missed a day of work, and claims it's a vacation day.
No, you claim it's a vacation day.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. He claims it's a sick day, which is outrageous. But that's
you ruined that there.
I did. I kind of butchered the line.
Well, I saw one tweet that said he has to work with you every day, so I feel like, you know, this every day shouldn't count as a vacation day. So. But no, I mean, well, once we're in the grounds, I will say it was surprising how much freedom we had. So when we walked in, we went to the press house briefing place, but that whole area there was just kind of open. It was funny. At one moment, I was doing a hit with the afternoon show, and we were arguing, I would say pretty loud, about where Jihad Campbell should play edge or linebacker. And behind me, there was some type of very serious like press briefing happening with some politician I didn't recognize. So, you know, between someone yelling like Dallas sucks during the ceremony yesterday, there was definitely the Philadelphia feel, I guess I would say, at the White House.
So, Elliot, let's get to the team here. Now, post-draft, what happens? And I want to play some audio for you of Howie Roseman the other day. This was after the draft. This was Saturday, talking about Goddard. Here's something Howie said.
Does this change anything with Dallas in his future?
You know, Dallas is part of the team, you know, as we speak. Obviously, as we go forward, we're going to continue to address things on this team. And right now, nothing further.
So, you know the deal, Elliot. No tight end was drafted. Marginal tight ends have been signed in March. What's going to happen with Dallas Goedert?
So I've covered Howie the entire, like literally since I started covering the team, Howie's pretty much been the GM. And I have never heard an answer like that from Howie. I feel like every time Howie's asked about a player that we all think is going to go, it's always, you know, he's a big part of the team. We value having him. That answer to me felt like public negotiating with Goddard to say like, yeah, we're probably going to move on from you. So I kind of think things might have shifted a little bit in what's going on. I think both sides entered the offseason under the assumption, because of what the Eagles wanted, that they were going to be splitting. Now that we've made it this far into the offseason, and clearly there's not the interest in Goddard around the league that either the Eagles or Goddard anticipated. If there was, financially, he would have been moved. I don't think this is about draft compensation. I think this is about a team willing to pay Goddard probably what he's looking for, or frankly, maybe even what he's making now. Like, I don't know if Goddard's able to find the money he's making right now with the Eagles. So, I think at this point, just based off that, you do wonder if they would bring Goddard back on a very reduced salary, or if they've decided like they're just going to move on. But that answer to me almost felt like a message to the Goddard camp, like, hey, we will still cut you or trade you if we have to.
Oh my gosh.
I agree. I think they've been publicly negotiating with him without admitting it.
What are we talking about in terms of the expectations from Goddard's side, the expectations from the Eagles' side? His cap hit for this year, $11.7 million. And then.
Yeah, but I would ignore the cap hit because the cap hit is not always a clear indication of like what actually Goddard's going to make. So the issue here, I shouldn't say issue, but like it's not about the cap number. It's about the cash. And this is something we've talked about all offseason, right? In terms of saving cash for next year and, you know, the cash that they're outputting this year. So the thing with Goddard is I believe he's going to make $14 million in cash this year, and none of that is guaranteed. So from the Eagles' perspective, if they were to move on from him and ignore the cap implications, just the cash, if they were to move on from him, they save that cash. So from Goddard's camp, they're probably going around the league seeing who will pay him 14. I mean, I'm sure they started hoping for more on a multi-year deal. And now from the Eagles' perspective, he's not finding that. They kind of hold all the cards at this point because they could say, yeah, we'll have you back at $5 million, you know, and then it's up to Goddard's camp to go and find a better offer than what the Eagles are willing to pay.
I mean, I know it's a hypothetical, Elliot, but you know him better than we do. You've covered him his whole career. Do you think he'd be a happy camper? I mean, let's be honest. Most people, if you're told to take a reduction of your salary by 50%, aren't going to be happy. Would he be happy? Happy enough?
Yeah, so I think he would. I know he has a good relationship with Sirianni, which I think would really matter in this instance. I mean, he's not going to spend much time around Howie Roseman during the regular season. And Dallas is also, like, I would say one of the more popular players on the team. Like, he's very close with, he's been here a really long time compared to a lot of players. So he's really close with a lot of like the big name guys on the team. He's lived here for a long time. I know he really likes being here. So I do actually think he would be fine. Now, I'm sure, you know, there will be moments when he's getting two targets a game for stretches where he thinks about it. But like, I think if he stayed here, it would be okay.
Elliot, do you think that the possibility exists, a real possibility exists, that Andrew Berry, the GM of the Cleveland Browns, would have had the wherewithal or the connection to the Eagles organization to move ahead of the Eagles to draft Shedeur Sanders in the fifth round of the draft on Saturday? How much validity do you give that report?
He might have thought that the Eagles would have done it. Now, obviously, he worked with Howie. He worked with the Eagles. He knows like how much they value the quarterback position. I just don't think they were going to take Shedeur Sanders. I don't know how you make that same mistake twice. Like, obviously, the Jalen Hurts pick worked out. Jalen Hurts is, in my opinion, the second best quarterback in the NFL. So you certainly can't call that pick a mistake. But I think the process of making that selection was a mistake. Like, it created a huge firestorm. It ended Carson's time here. I don't think they wanted that to happen when they drafted Jalen Hurts. And it worked out because Jalen ended up being a great quarterback. But I just don't see how this team would make the same exact mistake again, because, by the way, as much of a distraction Jalen was locally initially, like just because of the whole quarterback thing, Shedeur Sanders would have been 10 times that. It would have been a national story. Jalen wasn't a national story. This would have been a national story. So I know they're the quarterback factory, but I do not believe they would have drafted Shedeur Sanders.
So, Elliot, no cornerbacks taken near the top of this draft by the Eagles that could have become a starter year one. So who are the three starting cornerbacks, and where is Cooper DeJean going to play?
Yeah, so Vic Fangio said this to, I believe, John Clark, maybe about a month ago, that he really likes Cooper in that nickel role.
Yep.
And as we saw in the draft, and as we've seen, you know, Vic Fangio gets what Vic Fangio wants. Like he has that type of sway. So I do think you will see Cooper play in the nickel, but I also think it depends on like where they're at. I mean, sorry, what type of defense they're playing. I think when there's only two cornerbacks on the field, you will see Cooper on the outside. And then I think when they go to three cornerbacks, which will be the majority of snaps, Cooper will move to the inside. And at that point, you'll see either Kelee Ringo or Adoree Jackson, as of now, you know, be that outside corner.
Mm. The undrafted college kids that are coming in for the offseason program, are there any that are catching your eye? Have you had a chance to learn about any of these kids?
Who's the next Corey Clement? Who's going to be that guy?
Well, ironically, it is a running back. Now, I will say it's going to be really hard for these undrafted free agents to make the roster. Like, I like the running back they signed out of Florida, Montrell Johnson. You watch his you know, YouTube, like, he is very fast. He has breakaway speed. Like, he's very impressive to watch. It's just going to be hard to make it at running back. My favorite free agent they signed is actually out of Toledo, the safety Maxon Hook. First of all, he was roommates with Quinyon, so he has that connection. We know that Nick Sirianni is very close with the Toledo head coach, which is, I would imagine, why they signed two players from Toledo as undrafted free agents. But Maxon Hook, to me, when I read his scouting report, it reminded me a lot of reading about Quinyon, like a lot of the same things where it's, you know, he's a like an anticipation guy. Like, he'll sit back and he breaks on the football based off what he saw. And with Quinyon, a concern coming into the NFL would be, or was, he played at Toledo. Is he going to be able to make those same type of jumps on the football? And we all saw he very much was able to. So I think Hook has like the potential to make the roster. The safety position,
Hook somewhat is still behind Lewis Cine right now. Elliot.
I mean, maybe. I mean, Lewis Cine, just in the way that
I'm
Lewis Cine is
that for a fact.
I know you're a Lewis Cine guy. Yeah,
they're competing for the same spot, essentially.
Yes, correct. They are competing.
Further sign that John's in a better mood since he's got a girlfriend. He makes Lewis Cine jokes now.
I think Lewis Cine's got a real
Ruben,
chance.
This guy has come alive. His face is just
he's in the glow.
He's in the glow. The man's in love.
Luminous.
I love to see it.
Luminous.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
Can you see it through the phone?
Can you see it on YouTube?
Can you feel it?
Yeah.
Honestly, I think you've been like dressing way better ever since. Like, you look fly every time I see you now.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's impressive.
I had no idea.
Thank goodness.
That's a big deal.
Well, it is. You look
like
nice.
A fashionista.
Yeah, well.
That is what the people say. When I run for president, that'll be my slogan.
What people are they?
I didn't realize that we were going to have a competition, not just with Jack this summer, but for president of the United States in, I don't know, a couple decades.
I'm thinking 2048.
Go to camera.
Yeah.
Elliot Shore Parks.
Okay. They're both competitions that'll never happen. So we'll see.
Yeah, there
but
it is.
But that's the thing. You seem aware of that.
No, he went. Elliot
Joe doesn't.
Elliot won't win the nomination. Elliot, stay well, buddy.
All right. All right, I'll talk to you.
All right, get out of here. All right, I'm done with him. Let's go to the phones. All right, 215-592-9494. Also, coming up shortly, I want to get both Ruben and Rhea, who were not here yesterday, what they would do as parents if they were the parent of that 21-year-old punk that pranked Shedeur Sanders. We'll get to that shortly. Also, Brian Dawkins, something he said to James the other day about CJGJ. Interesting answer from Doc. That's up ahead shortly. Steve in Willow Grove right now. Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
What's up, Steve?
Hey, Richie Rich. Definitely something's up. You're sounding, you know, sounding better. Something's going down. So that's good.
Thanks.
Good for you. Congratulations. Jeez.
Well, thank you. I don't know. I think Joe might be lending a little more credence to this than what he should.
I've noticed the difference.
He's a changed man.
Yeah. John, we're not making this up.
But a little paradigm shift, I think.
Yep.
It's real.
Good use of paradigm.
Fashion,
Ruben.
Though.
I don't sign off on that. That's
no. He's changed his fashion. No, you've changed it a little bit.
You've gone a little different.
All right.
The haircut, well, you know, the tight beard, you know. You've,
I mean, I did cut my hair off.
You wouldn't have a girlfriend if you had kept the ridiculous
probably
hair you had.
Probably right. Yeah. Probably right. Yeah,
you look like no a rat. Doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
I mean, I'm aware of that.
Terrible.
But I was aware of that at the time.
But we were saying that to you for like 2 years, and you weren't heeding our advice.
But I wasn't like necessarily looking for
I'm aware of that.
Yeah.
All right, Steve, what do you got on the birds, buddy?
So if they cut Goddard, they're going to get hit with what, $11 million or $12 million?
Oh, boy. Someone help me out on this. Is that one of those things they can spread over a couple years? What's the deal on the...
Well, that's the thing. This is you've got voided years on this contract. According to SpotTrack, they go out to 2029. I don't know what that means, but it looks like this has been kicked down the street before. Okay. The dead cap for this year is $11 million. So that is like...
So that would be leverage for Goddard.
Yeah.
I mean, Goddard... Listen, Steve, yeah,
Howie ain't getting rid of losing $11 million, man. So he's keeping them, and he's going to trade them either in training camp or the beginning of the season, I think. I don't think Howie...
Well, I think you have a dead cap hit if you trade him. It's a similar concept. It's getting... Right, John? Am I on this one?
Yeah, but if you get something, you might be able to get something for him.
No, I know, but it's also, we had a caller yesterday, Steve, and I thought it was an interesting comparison. He said it reminds him a bit of the Alec Boehm situation. Like, the team is willing to trade him, but someone's got to bring something to the table that makes it worthwhile for the team to say, okay, we'll do it. It does feel kind of similar.
Yeah, but now with Kittle getting his money, you think that might mean something else for him now?
I don't know. All right, Steve, give me an answer for the best fictional. Go ahead to Ruben. Go.